Now, today's Bible reading is from Psalms chapter 118. And you're right, Russell? Yeah. No, Russell's going to do that for us. And then Ivan will bring us today's message.
Psalm 118. I give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called to the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look and triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in princes. All nations surround me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surround me. They surround me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surround me like bees. They went out like fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushing hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made the light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the thorns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. I give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Thank you.
Oops. Well, I'm glad they didn't hide my cheat sheets. As you heard, I'm Ivan, and actually I'm a member of the Wandai Baptist Church. I'm also the secretary, but also the other thing I do is I'm secretary of the Baramba Ministers Association, which is a combination of various churches here in Mergen. It strands from Gimeri, Mergen, Prost and Wandai. Not all the churches are members, but we do. And we come together to be able to see what we can do as combined churches to promote the gospel of Jesus. And so we put our doctrinal differences aside and we focus only on what is the truth of the gospel. And so we endeavoured to do that. So anyhow, I shall see how I go this morning. And I hope it's interesting, really, the so much focus on Christmas. I'm sorry. My message is not really Christmassy. But when I get towards the end of it, I'll explain why I end up doing it this way. Memory is an amazing thing. Mankind can actually remember an amazing number of facts. In actual fact, at one time, us oldies would remember at school that we were actually taught a number of facts, weren't we? Then they suddenly discovered that the younger ones couldn't handle it, so they had to modify it and say, well, look, they can always look on the encyclopedia. Well, no, not the encyclopedia. Look online to be able to find out what Dr. Google has to say about it, because they don't really, can't really take in all those facts. But also mankind can not remember certain specific facts or events. How often have you sung Silent Night? A few times? Can you sing every verse without your cheat sheet? Amazing, isn't it? You sing it over and over and over again, and we often, hey, what's the next verse? It's a bit like Amazing Grace, isn't it? You sing it, and yeah, we got that. And then what's the next verse? What's the next verse? Where's the cheat sheet? Where's the cheat sheet? What about the 1st of January 2025? New Year's Day at the very beginning of this year. What were you doing? Do you remember what happened? What about the 2nd of March 2025? Is there any fact burnt in your memory? So this morning, I'm going to focus on reminiscing, mostly about 2025, and basically to do with you and to do with me. But I've thought of a word, and so being a little bit difficult, I'm going to take the first letter of the word and just give some thoughts about that letter. Things that bring to my mind as to what can happen. Like in 2025, did you face some trials and temptations? Really? Ever since the Garden of Eden, mankind has faced trials. Will you choose to obey God, or will you choose to obey self? And this started to make me think about some of the different areas that we face trials and temptations in. Family. Well, in Matthew chapter 10, verses 35 to 37, for I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. They're harsh words, aren't they? But it's very true, isn't it? Family is very challenging. It's one of the areas in life where a Christian cannot hide. Your expression of faith, because you're seen warts and all. They know you. They've seen you. They've seen you with a smile. They've seen you do certain things and scratch their head and say, what in the world? So family can be very challenging. What about work? Well, of course the workplace is challenging. A place where you can actually maintain your standard of ethics, your standard of saying, I belong to Jesus. And so when the boss tells you to tell the customer that he's not here, do you go along and say, hey, the boss, I've heard of somebody who was very clever. They actually said to the client, the boss told me to tell you that he's not here. So work can be challenging. Work can make us think. And we always have a challenge before us. Neighbours, well, it can be a pleasure living next door or within a small radius of some people. Or maybe you've even heard about people who've had neighbours that make even the patience of Job be tested. They just seem to be able to get under your skin no matter what they do, what they say, how they live. It's just, In actual fact, I wouldn't be surprised if some people actually sell their house and move somewhere else to try and find better neighbours. But what about church? Ah, that's a good one, isn't it? Because church folks, brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah. Sometimes brothers and sisters can have a disagreement, can't they? Sometimes it means that we need to be able to think, But where unity, not necessarily uniformity, is on display, we can have unity without uniformity. And then just think of what John 13, 34 and 35, I won't sing it to you because some people would be offended if I did that, mainly because my notes don't always match the notes that the person who wrote the song put it down as. So you get the idea. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And so, in the church, I remember years ago, can't remember what church it was, but there's two ladies who for years, mind you, would not have fellowship together because they had an argument over something to do with the communion table. Amazing, isn't it? Not an argument or a discussion about doctrine. Something trivial about the setting up of the communion table. We are challenged in the church as well as anywhere else. And we are required by Jesus to love, to forgive. Now, what's it say about trials in James chapter 1? Some of you would know these verses very well. James chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Hey, what? For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So is there a reason for trials? Yes. Have you faced trials and temptations this year? I assume so, because we are all in that same category, aren't we? What about 1 Peter 1, 6-9? In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you are grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So is this something you face in 2025? What about the letter A? In the psalm we read there in Psalm 118, verse 5, it says, out of my distress I called on the Lord. Ask. Have you had time to ask the Lord for different things this year? We're pretty quick at doing that sometimes, aren't we? Although I have heard on the occasions where people have said, I've tried this, this, this and this, I think I'm desperate enough now to ask the Lord. But ask. In the Psalms, we see that all so often, don't we? We hear the psalmist say, here is my problem. And he's saying, Lord, help me. The letter A also made me think about accept. Have you accepted the answer that God has given you? Remember that old one, that old illustration years ago? You must have heard it a long time, many times, of how this guy was given a letter for Christmas. He was given an envelope for Christmas. And he just put it to one side, didn't bother opening it. And here he was, very poor, urgently in need of money. But he didn't worry about that envelope. But inside that envelope was a check for a large sum of money. But that check was no good to him because he didn't accept it. He didn't take it. He didn't bank it. He didn't use it. Accept. We need to accept God's answers. So is there a time this year where you're still waiting to have the answers to prayers? Have you accepted what God is saying? Appreciate. Have you appreciated what the Lord is doing in your life, just like Peter asked of the Christians? He said, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Appreciate. Are there times when you've been able to appreciate what God has done this past year? To be able to say, wow, isn't it amazing? Acknowledge. We all need to acknowledge that God is the one who ultimately can help. Without him, we're still going to be, like the psalmist says there, that you're in a miry pit or in a pool of sand, quicksand, and the only one who can lift you out is Jesus himself. The letter A. The letter H, help. Have you received help that you requested in 2025, or is it still to come? We often are living in a world of instant fix, aren't we? Sometimes we want things done now, don't we? Or rather yesterday. Robin and I, when we go drive, I'm driving. Robbie will sort of say occasionally, I'm getting bored with the scenery. You've been behind this car for so long. Isn't the time we had a new scenery to be able to look at? We want things rather quick, don't we? Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. But, of course, to learn patience is how? Going through all the frustrating things to help us to be able to have patience. H also is happiness. Has there been times in 2025 that you've had happiness? Can you remember who were you with? Where were you? What happened to cause you this happiness? Was it a special event? Was it a birth? My family is determined to send me bankrupt. Do you know what they've done? They keep on producing children. We had four children. You'd think that's fine. Now we have how many grandchildren? How many grandchildren we have? What's that? 19. And how many great-grandchildren? 4 great-grandchildren, and I think there's still more to come. Isn't it wonderful to be able to buy birthday presents, Christmas presents, all for the family? So if you want to be able to, you know, have impact your parents, your younger ones, just make sure that you've got great lots of grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and that'll send them broke. So really think about it. It might not be such a loving thing. When you're happy, was there neighbours? Was it friends? Was there music? Was there scents, as in smells, that you can remember? What was it that caused your happiness this last year? H also means honour bestowed on others. Was there a time in 2025 that you displayed honour in others? You saw that someone had a need and you were able to give freely. You gave honour to them, even at a cost to yourself. Was there a time when that happened? What about humour? Were you able to laugh at any time in 2025? God definitely has a sense of humour. There's a website, Got Questions, or sometimes it's called Got Answers, which is quite good actually. They have quite standard Christian doctrinal position on most of the things that they talk about. When they, one of the part of the one about does God have humour, an example of God's humour is the instance which Israelites were using the Ark of the Covenant like a good luck charm in taking it to battle, and the Philistines ended up capturing it and placing it in their temple before their idol of Dagon. They came into the temple next morning, that's the Philistines, came into the temple next day and found Dagon flat in his face before the Ark. They did the right thing, they set him back up. The next morning there he was again, but this time he had no hands and his head had been cut off as a symbol of his powerlessness before the God of the Ark. 1 Samuel 5:1-5. God's putting Dagon in a position of submission to his Ark is a comical picture. Christians need times to laugh. People need times to laugh. We can't be serious all the time. We need to be able to have a really good belly laugh. One that brings tears to our eyes. One that really makes us delighted. It sends us all off. Is there a time, how many times in this last year have you had a chance to laugh? Now for a serious comment, a really serious one. Please don't take too much offence over this because I don't know a lot of you people and I don't know where you come from or what you like or anything like that, but remember the Apostle Peter. When we think of Peter, we know that he is out there, isn't he? He sort of jumps in, boots and all. We remember that he said, "You are the Christ." We think, wow, amazing. But in Matthew 16, 21-23, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Have I been a hindrance to the work of the gospel this past year? Serious words. Serious things. It's not wrong to question any new ministry. Like, it comes up that you're going to have a great big something or other. Some great event this coming year. It's not wrong to question it. Some questions are legitimate and need to be asked. But it's not right to simply say, I'm against it. They say, why? And you say, I'm against it. I'm against it. I don't like it. Remember in Acts, when the disciples are about preaching about Jesus, and the Jewish leaders didn't like it, and they wanted to stop it. But there's one wise Jewish guy there who said to him, if it be of God, you can't defeat it. You can't stop it. It will happen. One of the things you need to be careful of is to being a hindrance to the work of God. We need to consider very carefully. As I say, when some things come up, it's legit. It's right to question. It's right to ask. But before you sort of go full bore against, make sure you've been on your knees sufficiently to say, Lord, what is it? And where do I fit in? The next letter is N. Have I gained new sights into the scriptures, into knowing God better, a greater love for him? Have I grown during 2025? Not just an extra 10 kilos or so around the waist or the thighs, where it is you put it on, or the face or something or other. But have we grown? What is it that you can remember in 2025 that said, hey, there is this verse. There is this thing that just happened that just blew my mind. Romans 8, 29-30, we know, many of you know these verses. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. God didn't call you just for salvation. Surprising? Heretical? He called you so that through you and through me as Christians, we can become like Jesus. And we can bring glory and honor to the Father. Frightening? Yes. Are there new insights that you've gained this year? The letter K, kindness. Have you been shown kindness during the year? What about keeping up? Have you been keeping up with God's program? Saying, hey, this is what God's doing, and I want to be part of it, and I want to stay part of it. The last letter is the letter S. Surprises. Has God answered your prayers in a surprising way? Has he given you what you needed, not what you actually asked for? He's pretty wise sometimes, isn't he? What we ask for sometimes, we think, hey, this is it. And God sends something else along, and we suddenly realize, that's what I was wanting, but I didn't realize it. God will surprise you. Has he surprised you this last year? I found this illustration from Thomas Bowen's sermon called Blank Checks. A retired teacher was giving her little nephew some help with his schoolwork. He was normally a good, attentive child, but on this occasion, he could not fix his mind on his work. Suddenly he said, "Aunt Sally, may I kneel down and ask God to help me find my marble?" She told him to go ahead. The little boy knelt by his chair, closed his eyes and prayed silently. Then he got up and went on with his lessons contentedly. The next day, his aunt was almost too afraid to ask about the prayer request. She was a little worried that if he did not find the marble, that his simple faith would be damaged. She finally decided to ask anyway and said to him, "Well, dear, have you found your marble?" "No," was the reply, "but God has made me not to want to." When we abide in Christ, especially in prayer, we believe that we develop and grow into a healthy branch that conforms to God's image. He changes our heart's desires and helps us to trust in his actions in our lives. S also strengthens. Do you realise that for every trial and every temptation that you experience, that you go through, whether you fail or whether you overcome, there is a strengthening process happening in your spiritual life? 1 Corinthians 10:13. Does anybody remember what that one is? Well, I'll have to see if I can find. I've got my Bible here, sorry. Technology is wonderful sometimes, but okay, 10:13. "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." So in other words, that whenever you have a temptation, you can't just stand up and say, "I'm the only one that's ever faced this." Not according to what Paul says here. "God is faithful." Ah, yes. "And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability." Hey, what? That's amazing, isn't it? You won't be tempted beyond your ability. "But with the temptation, he'll also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." And what is that escape that he has provided? Jesus. We have these signs in buildings, don't we? Exit and all that sort of thing. But in temptation, we have an exit too. It's Jesus standing there, and all we need to do is ask him to help, and he will. He'll direct us through it. We are strengthened through our temptations, through our trials. So where is all this leading to? This is leading to the word thanks. I'm sure you worked it out long ago. In Psalm 118, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." What a tremendous statement. And why did I pick on that? Because it's all Chris's fault. Not this Chris, the other Chris. I said to him, he said, "Oh, Ivan, can you take the..." Somebody else wasn't available, so I'm really second or third or fourth choice or desperate choice. But I said to Chris, I said, "Well, is there a topic or anything to preach on?" And he said, "I want you to preach on give thanks for 2025 and give thanks for 2026. So that led me to this. So it's all his fault. So Psalm 118 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say his steadfast love endures forever." This is where you can come in. Who's prepared? Those who fear the Lord can say his steadfast love. Oh, I can't hear you. Oh, come on. His steadfast love endures forever. It's not that hard. Might be a bit strange on the tongue. Might be a bit foreign. Have you given thanks to the Lord for 2025? I hope that I helped you to reminisce about 2025 and discovered that there are many things to be thankful for about 2025. What about 2026? Because Chris said give thanks for 2026 as well. I have good news and not so good news. Guess what? Will be much like 2025. There'll be trials. There'll be asking. There'll be honouring and humour. There'll be new insights. There'll be kindness. There'll be surprises. But through it all, may we hold fast in 2026 to Psalm 118. And give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the psalmist who wrote Psalm 118. We thank you for the truths that he has within it. And we didn't really go through it and study it verse by verse, but there's just so much there to encourage us and to help us. How that we can cry out in desperation and you always answer. How that you pick us up and draw us close to yourself and you reveal more of yourself to us each time. We want to thank you for 2025. Help us to reminisce on the things that have happened to be able to bring us closer to yourself so that we can truly say thanks. And we thank you for 2026. We thank you that there will be trials. We thank you that we'll be able to go through life and to be able to remember that there is to be able to be humour, that to be able to honour people, to be able to humbly accept your answers to our cries. And we ask that as we go through, we'll have new insights into you, to be able to help us as we walk day by day with you. And we just ask your richest blessing. We ask that each and every one of us today will be able to rise up and say, thanks be to God, for you are good. Your steadfast love endures forever. And we have tasted it. We have seen it. We have known it. And so help us to be able to continue that way in 2026 to bring honour and glory unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Ivan. When you mentioned, has one of your prayers been answered, but in not the way you expected, it reminded me we were in Broken Hill. We went to church there, and 25, 30 people in the congregation. And as it almost, the service about closed, the minister called me up out of the crew and asked me to close the service in prayer. And it absolutely rattled me. When I thought later, before we left home, I asked God in prayer to use me on the trip for his will and purpose. And then once I remembered that, it was sort of, that's good. It reminded me when you said that. Now, it's at this time of year that we are again reminded of that enormous sacrifice of our Lord Jesus that he made out of love. To come from heavenly glory, to live as one of us, to suffer the way he did for us, that we might have the gift of eternal life. You know, our mortal minds are struggling to comprehend such love. So let's stand and praise him by singing, Lord, I lift your name on high.
I live. lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord of wonder and salvation, with my voice I magnify. Lord of every generation, you came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Benediction. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Amen. If you're able, please join us in the hall for a cup and a time of fellowship. Fellowship is an important part of worship. And may you know God's blessings in abundance this coming year.